And as we continue in an attitude of worship, would you open your Bibles once again to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to look at chapter 1 through chapter 2 verse 10. And of course, 2:10 was our scripture reading, 2:1 through 10, excuse me, was our scripture reading this morning. And I just kind of want to share some things and about the faith of a godly mother. I am a benefactor of a godly mother. When my mom prays, she kind of scares you a little bit, right? And she just kind of starts praying. You're like, oh my goodness, something's going to happen here, right? And I've been blessed immensely by her example and who she is and how she continues to pray. I mean, often my parents will ask me, you know, Ty, they'll say Ty or Tyson, most likely Ty, you know, how can we be praying for you? And, you know, I always tell her, our church, pray for our church. Oh, yes, absolutely. Right? Pray that they'll have a hunger for God's word, that they'll not be adamant about following Tyson. They'll be adamant about following Christ. That's my prayer for you always. And I ask them, pray that. Please pray that for our church. Have a hunger for God's truth, because God will never let you down. I'm convinced of that. Even if you're not this morning or if you're hazy on that, I am completely convinced of God's truth. But this is a wonderful passage of Scripture, and it's interesting. This is Hannah's story. And Hannah, if you're familiar with this at all, I'm not going to read all of it, but we'll read it in portions as we work through the sermon this morning, just for time. But Hannah's interesting. Most of this story takes place with her not being a mother, but her longing to be a mother. And she has this wonderful story. And I think what's very interesting in the passage, and hopefully I'll bring this out and you'll see it, is the fact that there's wonderful parallels. All of us this morning, because I know some of you might be thinking, Pastor, I know this is about a godly mother and her faith, and I'm a male, right? And so it doesn't pertain to me. I'm going to challenge you on that this morning. These truths of her story are very insightful and very profound, and they apply to all of our lives, especially if we're followers of Christ, because there's these wonderful parallels. I say wonderful because we can identify with them. In the context of Scripture, you know, Hannah's going through some very distraught things. The Scripture uses some pretty powerful adjectives to describe what she's feeling and how she's going about it and what's happening. And she's being provoked, and she has all these things that are happening, and she feels probably insecure or insufficient, or God has left her because she doesn't have a child. And it's interesting how she turns, where she goes to kind of solve this and how to work through this. And I love these times where we can kind of, I like to say, you know, put our feet in the text and kind of be there and experience what is happening, because I believe there's nothing new under the sun. I believe the same struggles and hardships and the things that we see in Hannah's life are things that we can identify with. I think there's brokenness and moments of Scripture where we go, yeah, that's me. I hear that. And how did this person respond? What did this person do? Because I think there's wonderful insight for each and every one of us as we begin to get into this and press into this and go, look what this wonderful, powerful woman has done. Look how she did this. Look how she responded. And yet we understand the difficulty and the brokenness. And we say, man, that's something I want to put into action. So I just want to, by introduction, I want to say this speaks to all of us. I believe there's some wonderful parallels, regardless of our backgrounds, what we're going through. There's wonderful things we can glean from here. And it also has this idea that, we deal with things in life. And God is sovereign. Her prayer is this confidence, this resolve that there is a mighty God. And just as last week, if you were here, we talked through or preached through Psalms 1 and this idea that you may be feeling, you know, I'm following after the Lord. I'm putting everything into action that I know. I'm not listening to ungodly counsel, as the psalmist says in Psalm 1. I'm following this way, and I'm following the righteous path, but yet I feel like others are being blessed, and God has left me. And yet you could see in this passage how Hannah could probably conclude that, right? And she becomes a powerful illustration of the truth of God's word. God is sovereign. And where she gets that, I don't know, right? She has it, because we look at what is happening culturally. If we look at Eli in this passage, the priest, we look at his sons who don't even know the Lord, and yet they're ministering, and you know, the Bible tells us they didn't even know, right? And this is the spiritual barometer of Israel at this time, and yet here's this powerful young woman who understands something about God's sovereignty and where to go in difficult times. So I'd like to just pray now, pray for this message this morning, and then we'll read passages as we go through the sermon. So please bow your head and let's pray. Father, thank you so much once again for bringing us here. There's a lot of things that I'm sure are on our minds this morning and maybe things we have to deal with this week, but I ask you to help us to just place our focus upon you, that you would grow our faith through this message this morning, through your word, that we would understand more about who you are and your ability, your power, your might. We know that you're in control. And for those real hardships and difficulties, Lord, that we might be feeling this morning, help us to bring them to you and to trust in you. For you are, in fact, mighty. You are the one who raises up and brings down. You alone are God. So give us that insight, Lord. Allow your spirit to teach us. And as always, Lord, I ask you to get me out of the way. Every thought and mind fixed upon you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said earlier, we have this wonderful story of Hannah. And it's just this really a prayer of anguish, right? And I think that's the word used in the scripture. And we see her. We kind of see the story. We see it unfolding. We see this little snippet of what's happening in her life. And we see what she does with it, right? She's going to go pray about it. And we see God move. And then we see her respond. I mean, really, that in a nutshell is my sermon. Some of you go say, amen, let's close the Bible and go home. No, we're going to go through this. There's some good things here for us. And my first point is that I want us to understand is this idea, this whole identity, right? That we relate to this. You know, I know at times if you talk to mothers and they think, well, you know, I've got, you know, one third of the Proverbs 31 kind of going on and the other two thirds is I'm not even attempting it, right? And we have this feeling in life because Proverbs 31, for you don't know, is like this just incredibly awesome woman. And so there's this thought that we would go, I'm not stacking up, right? I'm comparing and I see the weaknesses. And then I don't think that's what that whole passage is about. It's meant to grow. We're meant to mature. But we're not to look at this and go, well, I can't. I should give up, right? Use that illustration of the flat tire. Whenever you get a flat tire, you patch it, right? You go out and patch it. I've never met anyone who's gotten a flat tire, hopped out, popped the other three, and said, forget it. It's useless, right? We don't do that. So we want to fix it. And so my first point here is I want us to identify that this godly mother, and even though she's not a mother yet, but this godly woman, she has real problems. There are real problems. And that's kind of this first point. As we look at this scene, and I'll kind of just paraphrase some of this. You know, she's married to Elkanah, and he has two wives. Hannah is one, and Peninnah is the other. And Peninnah has multiple children. She has many. And this verses of chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, what kind of unfolds this for us. And we come to this idea that this is kind of what's happening, and this is Hannah. She comes on the scene, right? And we go into verse 4 where it says, and whenever the time came near for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, right? So we see that she is, in their time, she has many sons and daughters. She would be blessed of God is how they would view that, of course. And then in verse 5 it says, but Hannah, this is Elkanah, would give her a double portion, for he loved Hannah. And although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, right, Peninnah here, her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable. Because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So here we have this scene, right, where we have this godly mother. I'm just going to say godly mothers endure real problems. Wouldn't it be nice to say when you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior today that all your problems go away? Wouldn't that be wonderful, right? I think the church would be packed if that was the case, maybe, or maybe not, right? But wouldn't it be wonderful? We know that's not the case. We've all lived life long enough. We know what Jesus has commanded in Scripture. We know that he's told us we're going to have problems in this life simply because of him. Right, let alone of all the other things. And here we see Hannah's problem. Hannah's, as it mentioned, the passage tells us that her womb was closed, right? She feels in this culture, in this sense, that God is doing this on purpose. God is not allowing. Maybe she feels that God is absent. God is away. God is paying more attention to Peninnah over here, and she doesn't know how to process this. And that's not all unfolded there, but we can kind of identify saying, yeah, there's probably some thinking. At one point in time, if she's human, maybe these thoughts ran across her mind, and she might begin to think of things this way. We also see that she has a rival, right? She has Peninnah, who is provoking her. And you have this scene where they're going up to the temple to worship, right? We're going to go praise God and have the sacrifice. And you have the one wife who goes, look at all my kids. You know, which one should I have them carry this? Or which one should carry that? Or, you know what, I'll have this one do that. I mean, who knows how she's provoking, right? And then you have Hannah who goes, wow, you know, God is, he's not with me. And they're going up to worship, right? And the idea of blessing and praising God. And here you have one who's saying, look at me. Ha, 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 jab, jab, jab. I don't know if some of you know people who just kind of know your number, right? They can poke it. Does anyone have people like that? You've come across that? Yeah, some of you are like, I don't. That's rhetorical maybe, huh? But Hannah has real problems. And I think in these times in life, what can she do with this? She could feel. Honestly, I think we could all say there's some credit to the fact of maybe she could feel, or maybe justify feeling that God has left me. God has blessed this other person. And here I am. I think that's legitimate. She could probably feel that way. Maybe you've kind of identified with that feeling. She could have turned maybe to other means for help. Maybe she thought, I have another person who said I should do this, and maybe I'll go follow those steps. I'll depart God and go do this. You know, it's interesting culturally because what's happening here is you have a real void. God's word was rare, it says, in these days where she lived. This is why it's so amazing. She has such wonderful faith and conviction. I mean, you have Eli who's so passive, right? He doesn't even call his sons who are doing just, you know, sexual morality with the women who would come to the temple. They were doing such horrific things, and he's not even doing anything about it. And this is kind of the scene you have, right? And so she may have turned to other religions. The Canaanites who were close to the Israelites had this idea of Baal, right? Baal worship. And we know as you follow this out, as Samuel later comes on the scene, he's the first prophet. He's going to be the one who's going to set up the kingdom because, you know, they want a king and so on and so forth. And you see this problem of other pagan worship is always a part of the Israelite people. And so you have this idea of that if this is culturally happening, you could see there might be a tendency for Hannah to go, you know what, let me try this. If Baal's the god of fertility, then definitely, let's at least, you know, try it out and we can mark it off. If it doesn't work, maybe then we'll come back to God. But she doesn't do any of these things. None of this is recorded. And her praise, right, is the complete opposite of any hints of ever thinking or pondering any of those thoughts. She is faithful to the Lord. She trusts in God's sovereignty. And in this praise that we've read in chapter 2, 1 through 10, she says, you know what? God raises, God lowers, God is sovereign. God is the one who does all these things. And so we see that she has real problems. She has influencers. She has those who are saying, hey, maybe try this, or just, you know, curse God and take off, or whatever it might be. So there might be those in your life. And what do we learn from this? This opening thing is that godly mothers, those who are faithful, right? We have real problems. It's okay to come across real problems. Sometimes we may think, you know what? I'm dealing with this. God is left. God's blessing someone else. He's busy blessing my enemy, apparently. He's got no time for me. And we learn right out of the gate here that followers of Christ, we come across real problems. The Bible talks often of those who struggled with these things. The righteous often suffer. And so it's important for us to understand that real people, real wise, godly mothers go through real problems. And I think it's also an important lesson here that we should add to this and say, you should not be letting the world dictate how you respond to this problem. I'm not saying that godly counsel isn't bad, or if there's a medical issue, you should pursue that. I'm not saying those things. What I'm saying is as you get into this, don't let the world dictate how we look at this. There is a sovereign understanding, an eternal understanding that Hannah has as she looks at this situation. God is in control. You know, when I was at kindergarten age, I had an open heart surgery. I was born with a narrowing in my aorta, right, which is the valve comes out of your heart, right? It was narrow on both sides. And I had to go through surgery. The doctors told my parents, yeah, he's going to be short. This one's going to be short with short limbs. Right? And then I always have this moment, I'm like, think how tall I could have been, right? I remember as a kindergartner, they were walking my parents through this big ordeal, right? I don't know if you as parents, we kind of go, man, anything that happens to your children, you're just, you know, you're on edge. And I remember sitting on this, they kind of the day before the surgery, they laid me out here in the surgical room. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to walk you through all this. And I remember looking over at my mom, my dad, and I thought it was kind of cool to have all this attention on me. I'm like, yeah, sweet. That's really white. You know, those kind of moments, I remember everything being white and sterile, right? And the next thing I know, my mom's gone. And she had fainted. Right? I'm looking over, and she was there. Next time I look over, she was on the ground. She just couldn't handle it. Overwhelmed. Right? And parent, we identify, right? Immediately. And a few weeks ago, my mom reminded me of this story, and she said, you know, when you played water polo in high school, there was a time I was sitting on in the stands, and I was watching, and I just saw you, and I saw this big arm come up out of the water and grab this ball and shoot it. And she goes, I yelled out loud, praise God! And she goes, all the parents looked at me like I was a little crazy, and I'm like, right, but she's sharing this story with tears in her eyes. She could barely get it out. Because I knew I was there, right? I saw this. This is a real problem. It doesn't have to be a spiritual thing. It has to be a real problem. And I'm a very sensitive son, and I'm thinking, oh, Mom, this is awesome. And then, you know, the only thought I had in my mind is like, did I score on that shot, right? Let's be honest. It makes the story a little bit better. Yeah, I saw this arm. You shot and you scored. It makes it better. We go through things of life, right? There are times where my mom could have accepted those things and said, well, it is what it is. And maybe that could have been the right thing. So she chose, regardless how this played out, there's a sovereign God, right? And we walk through things of life that are difficult. And all along, I think this right out of the gate, Hannah's understanding of the sovereignty is so important for every single one of us. You go through hardship. Not to make light of it. In the middle of this, there is a God who's in control. It goes on from here because we see what does Hannah do with this, right? We're left off in verse 7 where she says, therefore she wept and did not eat. In verse 8 it says, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You see the compassion of her husband who genuinely loves her. He knows exactly what this scene is about. I know you want a son. Am I not better than 10? Whether God moves in this or not, but we see this woman is not okay with it, right? She's having difficulty. And what does she do with this, right? Well, in verses 9 through 11, really through 18, she kind of has this radical vow. And this is my point, is godly mothers extend vibrant prayers. You got to go to praying, right? We're going to go pray. Believe in prayer. We practice prayer. It should be our first response. What does God say about this? I know God is able in this. And we should not become angry with God. She's not angry at God. There's not a moment here where she says, oh, man, Lord, I don't know what you're thinking. I'm offended, right? None of this language is here. Listen to what she says, beginning of verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting on the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness and soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. All these adjectives, right? And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, that I will give your maidservant a male child, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah had spoken in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and the grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. We come across real problems in life. What does Hannah do with this? She goes to the Lord, right? There's no turning to these false gods or mocking others or becoming angry with God or accusing Peninnah of wrong things, of saying mean things. There is just a direct, right, spot or direct course to God and who he is. There is something that she understands about God's mercy and his ability. She believes wholeheartedly. This is Psalms 46:1. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." I believe Hannah's got a hold of that. She's going to lay a hold of God. We look at her prayer and she says what? Look at these adjectives again. She is with bitterness of soul. She is weeping in anguish. She offers a radical vow, right? She does this with persistence. She does it in her heart. She does it with her soul and with faith in God's ability and God's promise. If you're going through a difficult time today, mothers, bring it to the Lord. Pray over these things. And I think there's really four valuable lessons for every single one of us that comes out of this response in this way. And we learn that she prayed fervently, right? She poured out her soul. She poured out her prayers. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Pray fervently. Second one is pray persistently. Don't come once. Man, press in. She continued steadfastly in prayers. Pray for these things. If you've got a child going through physical things or in rebellion or just don't want them to know the Lord, pray fervently. Pray persistently. The third one is she prayed faithfully. There's an understanding of God's ability. So believe that God would answer. We pray with expectation. I believe God hears. I love this verse in 1 John 5:14 through 15. We were going through this letter. It says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Come with confidence. Pray according to his will. And the last one here I think is very important is pray specifically. It's not just a child, but a male child. It's a male child that I want to give back to the Lord. This is my request. Lord, I don't want you to just move in my child's life. I want you to move this way. I want you to draw their life, their heart to you. I pray, Lord, that you would move in this way that brings you glory and honor. I think it's important that we pray specifically so when God moves, it grows our faith. So important for us. It's too much in our world that is discouraging. We just begin to pray specifically and we see God move. Man, what a wonderful testimony that grows in us. And I believe this is what God, the kind of faith God takes notice of, right? 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." So important. I think it's wise that we should seek godly counsel. I think that's important. If there's a medical issue, we should definitely pursue all those things that are available to us. But everything we go through should be saturated with prayer. Put God at the center of it, right? So that we know that when God is with us, we are reminded this ever awesome, profound, powerful God is with us. Flood the whole process with prayer. Prayer is a laying hold of the living God who understands exactly what is going on, your deepest need. Prayer is acknowledging that we are totally dependent upon him. Lord, I need you. I need you to move. Prayer is the God-ordained way for believing people to deal with their problems. God, I ask you to move in this. And here's our struggle. Our struggle, I believe, at times is we're a little too self-sufficient. Here, Hannah isn't trying to create some type of miracle or trying to conjure something a different way or to go about things a different way. She's just simply coming and saying, "Here it is. Here's my vow. Lord, if you honor this way, I'll give this child back to you." I'll grant them to you. He will be yours. Just give me this one. Many times we think we can handle our problems. Many times we tuck God into our back pockets, right, until we need him. Okay, I'll play the God card now. It's the last resort. Prayer is usually the last on the list. We've all been there. We've all done that. And the challenge here is what? An anguish and bitterness. She's not getting resentful. She's not getting angry at God. She's taking it to the Lord. Here I am, completely helpless, God. And I think it's important. The point I want to drive here is if we don't learn to pray in our problems, we're missing how God is seeking to work in our lives. Lord, in this, I need you to move. So see, again, we godly women endure real problems. They extend vibrant prayers. And naturally, this goes on to they experience, godly mothers experience God's provision, right? We see Hannah's provision here. These are verses 19 through 20. The Lord remembered her. The Lord gave her a son, whom she named Samuel, which means heard of God, because he listened. I'm going to name him this. His name is Samuel. He heard my prayer. He heard my cry. Now he's going to work, and here he is. He's blessed me. What do we learn from this? We learn that God hears, right? God hears us. We know that God moves on our behalf. We have to be careful as we pray, just in that passage of 1 John, we want to pray according to his will, right? This is your purpose, Lord. I need you to move. And as you provide, God, I want it to be done for your sovereign work. James 4:3 gives us a good awareness of how we should pray. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. We should know God provides, and the purpose is what? God has his man. God has the first prophet of Israel. This is the one whom he wants. There's something about Hannah that she sees it. She understands it. So God makes this provision. And because of this provision, this goes on in verses 21 through 28. Godly mothers have a heart for God's purposes. There's something about Hannah's story here where she understands this bigger picture. It's not shared with us in the passage, but she has this understanding that I'm going to pray in a way. I'm not going to pray, just simply give me a child so I can stop hearing it from this other lady over here. I want to have a child I can give back to you. If you think culturally what's happening, you have Eli again, he's passive. He doesn't even calling any his sons on sin. He's not even dealing with it. He thinks this woman who's come and she's pouring out her soul, what is his reaction? Not that she's praying, but that she's drunk. You kind of get this picture of what's happening spiritually. This is the time of the judges where everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And yet here's Hannah. Has this profound understanding of all this and says, if you'll move in this, I'm going to come and pour it to you. I expect you to be sovereign. I expect you to be in control. I expect you to be awesome. Because that's where my faith is at. And so she prays according to God's purposes. It's not bad to pray for our daily bread. Jesus said, yeah, we should pray for our daily bread. But before we ask that, he said in the Lord's Prayer, we should be praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done. Your purposes be done. Prayer is not to solve our problems so we can live happily, right? Trouble-free life. Those are good things. The purpose of prayer is to get God's will done, bring glory to him. Hannah's heart for God, right? Hannah's heart for God's purposes. Right out of the gate, she planned to give this child back. And she follows through. She carries it through. Now, mothers, put your feet right in her shoes. Is that an easy thing to do? You simply give that child back. Can you imagine walking away from the temple? Here I came, right over there, I poured out my soul, poured out my heart in anguish and bitterness. God gave me the child. 3 to 5 years later, I bring him back and leave him there. This woman's faith is incredible. How do we demonstrate, right? How do we demonstrate God's, praying with God's purposes in mind for our real life? where the rubber meets the road. Well, if we're praying for a job, maybe we should add to that, Lord, I pray that you would make me an ambassador in that workplace, that I would have opportunity in which to shine a light. I also pray, Lord, that as I get resources, that I would use them to further your kingdom, right? See that idea where we're praying for work, but we're adding God's purposes to it. If I'm going through some health issues, then let's pray, Lord, give me energy and strength, bring healing so I can continue to help my neighbor, to help those who need you. For single, we're praying for a mate. It's not just about, Lord, provide this, but Lord, bring it in a way where the both of us can expand our ministry. That's the idea of praying in line with purposes. And this is how Hannah, it was what she's doing, right? She's pouring out her soul and saying, if you'll meet this need where I've been in anguish of soul and bitterness, if you'll meet it, I'll give this child back. I desire that in this, your purposes will be fulfilled. That's wonderful faith. What a challenge to all of us. And we know from the story that God has moved in a mighty way. We see Samuel is born and becomes the first prophet of Israel. And of course, we see the concluding point here is godly mothers express their praise. She expresses her praise. We read that in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And we see this powerful journey. God walks this woman through. God answers her prayer in just a mighty way. We see her leave this child, and yet it's not recorded that she's depressed about it. She doesn't leave the child and go, man, maybe we should, you know, second think this through here. I know God's a God of grace, and I understand that, so maybe he'll overlook this one. There's none of it is here. There's just profound resolve in this young lady. Her psalm exalts God's greatness and human inability. That's the focus of it. What we can't in our own strength, God can. And I think the important thing here is that we learn God doesn't help the strong. He doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps the helpless. He could have used one of the other children from Penina, he could have done that. For some reason, he closes the womb of Hannah, brings her through this experience, brings a child through her. Samuel comes on the scene, and this is the one God wants. God helps those who are helpless. Our problem, once again, I think, is oftentimes we're more strong than we should be, right? I've got this one, Lord. I'll take care of this. And yet I believe the Lord is immensely patient with us. It brings us to places where ultimately we say, I can't. And that's usually done on purpose. So we can say, Lord, I know you can. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. Hannah praised God with wonderful joy. Praised him for his help. And I think the learning for us is that we should rejoice in blessings received. As believers, we have every reason in which to offer praise. Lift our voices for the cross, for salvation. Begin to see, right, the testimony and the workings of God in our lives. It's why praying specifically is so important. We become aware of the little things, these moments of providence where we say God's hand of providence was moving. He orchestrated these things in a wonderful way where I can see him moving. I can be encouraged by it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We should offer praise. Hebrews 13:15, right? Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, as we here in a moment, I'd like to pray for our mothers as we kind of close this message. But you know, this story, Hannah's story, is really profound when we begin to look culturally at what is happening. Let's share this a little bit. But There's no real teaching. It said, you know, the word of the Lord was rare in these days. And yet God has his children. And Hannah might have been one of thousands, right? But her faithfulness, her conviction, right? Her resolve and her confidence in a sovereign God. Because she did this, so many others were blessed. And so I think it's important for you mothers this morning. Sometimes we may think I'm insignificant. My need is too small. Lord, he's got better things to do. I think from this, you should be learning. We all should be learning. God desires to move in these moments. God desires that you would bring all those needs. God desires to move in us. And however small we may think the request might be, or if it's just this something thing, you know, whatever the size of it might be, God may use that to impact many other lives. Her faithfulness. This whole story is between her, right, her husband, and the priest who probably forgot about her, right? 3 years later, after the child was weaned, he's probably 3 to 5 years. That's when she returns and she reminds Eli, you remember that one time you thought I was the drunk lady over here? Oh, yeah. And then she's standing there with her offering and says, here's how God provided. And she leaves him. Samuel goes on to anoint other kings. King David. Here's the lineage of Jesus. It comes from this. Because this woman was faithful. This little story between her and her husband, right? And this priest. That's it. Didn't involve anyone else. But the impact involves us today. How wonderful it is. So I challenge you, mothers, you're so important. Not just to your families, but to your church family, to the body of Christ. You are needed. The small prayers, the faithfulness. Maybe there's times we need to set at a sporting event, right? When we see our children playing and just say it, praise God! God has a plan. God's got a purpose. So as I close this in prayer, I'd like to just pray for our moms. If you, all you mothers out there, if you'd be willing, would you please stand? Stand to your feet, mothers, grandmothers, mothers, all of them. Come on, let's stand. Yes. And so I'd like to pray for our mothers, and I'll just bring a close to our service as well. But let's pray together.